Today's Shir is Masech Tachul and Dapei Tes. We will begin on Dapei Ches Amin Aleph, the bottom line. It says the Gemara of Amar Rava, B'schash Amar Avram Avinu. B'schad that Avram Avinu said, Im Michut V'atzroi Chanal. We all recall the episode where Avram Avinu, where there was a war of four kings against five kings. And the four kings prevailed. And amongst the five kings was Melech Stoim, and Lot, Avram's nephew, was captured, and Avram Avinu got involved, and he saved the five kings from the four kings that attacked him, Kedolayim and Melech Goyim. And Avram Avinu, after that war, Melech Stoim offers him what was captured in the war, because he was the one that ultimately save them. And Avram Avinu makes a very strong statement. Im michut v'atzroi chanal, I refuse to take from you a string, a shoelace, zoche banav l'shtei mitzvos. Because of that, his children were zoche to two mitzvos. L'chut shal tcheles, ritzu shal tfilin. The chut of the tcheles and the tzitzis, and the ritzu and the tfilin and the tzitzis. And the Mefarshim explained this Gemara on many different levels. Avram Avinu refused to take, because Avram Avinu felt that this was something that doesn't belong to him. And from here we see, some of Farshim explained, how important it is not to take something that doesn't belong to you. Where do we find this concept in Halacha? We find by the Chut Shel Tcheles as well, that the Halacha is that the Chut Shel Tcheles has to be made out of tchelis, not out of any imitation. Again, it has to be honest. And then there's another Gemara the Mefarshim suggests, remind us, where there was somebody who trusted someone else because he saw him wearing tefillin. So we see that these are objects that show us honesty. And Avram Avinu, who is the paradigm of not taking something that doesn't belong to him, was zeichet to these two mitzvahs. Rabbi Kivega says, from this we could understand a halacha that we all know. The halacha is that when somebody puts on his shoes, he's supposed to put on his right shoe and then his left shoe. When it comes to tying his shoes, he should tie his left shoe first. Why? So Rav Kivega says, it's based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara shows us that Avram Avinu got the tzitzis, and got the shoe, the chut atzroi chanal, and they're tied to the tefillin. Just like the tefillin are tied left first, so too should his shoes be tied left first. Furthermore, says the Meshech Chachma, this is why when we daven Shachris, we wear talis and tefillin. Why specifically by Shachris, more than by other tefillah? Because we see that Avram Avinu is so connected to the talis and tefillin, tchelis and tefillin, and Avram Avinu we know is the one that was misakein tefillah Shachris. So it only makes sense that we should wear talis and tefillin by the tefillah that Avram Avinu was misakin. Mefarshim also point out that we know that schar mitzvah b'ha'ar al meleka, that we don't get schar for mitzvahs in this world. And here we see that Avram Avinu is getting schar mitzvah. So Mefarshim explained that when we say schar mitzvah b'ha'ar al meleka means that there isn't a material reward for our mitzvahs. But schar mitzvah mitzvah, that one mitzvah should bring another mitzvah, that certainly exists in this world, and that's exactly what happened with Avram Avinu, that because he did the mitzvah, and he caused such a great Kiddush Hashem, with Melech Stoim, that's how he became Zeichet to two more mitzvahs, Tcheles and Tefillin. Beautiful vart from the Kli Yoker. The Kli Yoker says, here our Gemara is saying that Avram Avinu got mitzvahs Tcheles because of this episode. So first of all, I saw that some of Farshim suggest, and if not for this, there would have never been a mitzvah tzitzis. So some say there would have been a mitzvah tzitzis, but there wouldn't have been the mitzvah tcheles. Here we're learning that there's not only a mitzvah tzitzis, but there's also a mitzvah tcheles. But the Kli Yoker asks a different question. Al Gemara suggests that he got the mitzvah tzitzis because of this episode. We got the mitzvah tzitzis because of this episode with Avram Avinu. It says the Medrash says that we got the mitzvah tzitzis because of the episode with shame and Yofis, when Noach was exposed, they covered him. So what is the reason? So Kli Yoker says a very nice pshat. Kli Yoker says that tzitzis brings two things. It prevents arayas. It's an antidote connected to nus, and it also is an antidote to anis. Somebody shouldn't be poor. So shame, who used the talis to cover his father's erva. So b'schus shame, tzitzis protect us from erva, and b'schus Avram Avinu, who did the mitzvah with money, that's why he protects us from poverty. Mefarshim also go on to explain that from here we learn a very important lesson. The lesson that we learn from this Gemara is that even with a string, chut shel tchelis, a ritzua shel tefillin, you could do mitzvahs, even with the most insignificant. Avram Avinu, what you look at Avram Avinu, act was also not a very significant act. It just didn't take. But the lesson is that we could worship Hashem and we could do mitzvahs even with the most insignificant objects. Says the Gemara, so the Ritzui Shal Tefillin, asks the Gemara, we see, Ra'al Kalafsi Ami Aretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha. The Ritzui Shal Tefillin represents a gewaldige tzchus that the goyim see the Tefillin Shal Roish. Tanya Blaza God Loimer, El Tefillin Shal Roish. The goyim see the Tefillin Shal Roish that has the Shem Shakai, and it keeps them in check. Ask the Gemara, however, Chut Shal Tcheles Mahi, what is so special about the Chut Shal Tcheles? Answers the Gemara, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Manishtana Tcheles Mikol HaTzvoinim, what makes Tcheles different? Nesh Tcheles Doim L'Yam, the Tcheles looks like the sea, V'Yam Doim L'Rikia, and the sea looks like the sky, V'Rikia Doim L'Avin HaSapir, the sky looks like the stone, the sapphire, V'Avin Sapir Doim L'Kisa HaKovid, the Ksiv, as the pasuk says, "V'yiras alkei Yisro v'tachas ragel of kamar evan living as sapir, siv kamari evan sapir the muskisei." So, by looking at the tzitzis, we remember Hashem and we remember all the mitzvahs. So, Mefarshim asked the obvious question: if the tchelis looks like the kisei covered, so why do we have to go through all the steps? So they said the tchelis is doim l'kisei covered. So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. One teretz that I saw to this question is that it's not exactly an exact match. It's only similar. When we see the yam, that's a better match, and that brings us ultimately to remembering the Kisei HaKovid. Another pshat that I saw, as the Gemara says, there are really two materials that have this tchelis color. The chilazin, that sea creature called the chilazin, and the kali ilan. But we know that tchelis has to come from the chilazin. It can't come from the kali ilan. So when we look at the tchelis, we should remember the yam, that we should be careful that tchelis came from something in the yam, not from something that's not from the yam. Another pshat that I saw is because we remember that the Kadosh Baruch, the Torah, is compared to mayim, and we want to remember that through Torah, it's actually the way that we come to avodas Hashem. But then I saw a very nice pshat. In on Purim, we say Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahel v'Samecha, Beroisam Yachad Tcheles Mordechai. We say that Mordechai wore a suit made out of Tcheles. So the question is very obvious. And what's the difference? What color suit of Mordechai wore? A blue suit, a black suit? What's the difference? What color suit he wore? That we say Tcheles Mordechai. So perhaps Pshat is based on this Gemara. Here our Gemara is saying that the tchelis reminds us of the yam, and the tchelis reminds us of the kisei HaKovid. If we think about it, the yam, what does yam represent? Yam represents the depths of the sea, and the kisei HaKovid represents the highest of the high. What is the lesson here? That in a Jew's life, in everyone's life, there are times where it's yam, when he's low, and there are times that he's in the kisei HaKovid, he's on top of the world. But what is a Jew supposed to remember? Tcheles. He's supposed to remember that all comes from Hashem. Who is the best example of such a life? Mordechai. Mordechai, on one hand, at one point, we know was the Mishnah Lamelech, the Rosh Sanhedrin. On the other hand, Mordechai lived in a time where Lahashman, Laharag, Labed, that all Jews should be destroyed. But it says, so we say on Purim, Tcheles Mordechai. Mordechai had in him this characteristic that he remembered that everything comes from Hashem, even when he's in the Yam, or even when he's in the Kisei HaKovid. There's a very nice part from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says that we all remember the Medrash. The Medrash says that when Korach came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Talish kula tchelis. If somebody has a garment made completely out of tchelis, is it mechuyev in tzitzis? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes. And Kairach went out and said, that's what you're saying? That's what you're saying? So what's pshat in the Medrash? So Ksav Sofer explains. The Medrash says, in explaining the mitzvah of tzitzis, he says there were two people who were very close friends, very, very close friends. And they were going to separate from each other. One was going to travel away. So they decided that they want to always remember this close friendship. So they gave each other a gift, that every time I look at the gift, I'll remember you. He says that's what the tzitzis represent. We're in this world. We're physically far from Hashem. So Hashem gives us the tzitzis that we should always remember him. So Kairach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Ksav Sofer, Klai Yisrael is a nation that's kulei tchelis. Those were his words. Ki kola eida kulam kadoshim. They don't need any reminder. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, even if all of Klai Yisrael is so holy, we still need the tzitzis, as the Gemara just taught us, to always remind us that we are from Hashem, that we have to remember Hashem. Continues the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Kasha Gezel Anachal, Gezel that was already eaten up, something that somebody stole and already used it, it's very hard to return, even though we know the Torah says, Veheshev is a Gzela. Shafil Tzdik Gemurim Eni Choyim Lach Ziroi. Even if somebody's a great Madreg, it's hard to get back. Shenemar, as we find, we started our Gemara today, that Avram Avinu tells the Melech Stoim, he refuses to take anything back, but he says, what my people already took, I can't give back. That they should keep. And as the Mashal explains, and we really said at the beginning of the year, really Avram Avinu wasn't titled to everything that he captured, because he was the one that saved the day. He wanted to take the extra measure and not take it. But he said, I can't force that on the people that took and already don't have what they took. Whenever you find Reb Lezer make a statement regarding Agadata, asay oznecha kafrachas. Make your ears like a mill. Mefarshim explain what happens by a mill. It has a very wide opening, and then it goes through that mill, and it separates the bran and the chaff from the actual grain. Here too, the Mefarshim explain, every word that Reb Lezer said is great. And take every word and learn from every word that he saw, that he says, and filter out that you can learn a lesson from it. But then I saw another beautiful pshat. We know, as we just said, a mill is used to make grain, to mill the grain. And we know that there's nothing more important than grain. Grain is the most staple of food items. Teaches us Gemara, Divrei Torah, to be on our attitude to Divrei Torah should be like our attitude towards grain. Just like we need grain to live, we need Torah to live. The Pasuk says, Lai Merubchem Mikolam Choshek Hashem Bechem. Not because of your numbers does Hashem love you. Unlike Rosh Bachal Yisrael. And the question is obvious. Everybody knows that Klal Yisrael isn't the largest nation in the world. And furthermore, is that what makes a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is that what's important to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The quantity of people? Amla Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klai Yisrael, Cheshkani Bechem, I love you. Shafil B'shosh Anishpi Lechem Gedula. Even when I give you greatness, Atematem Atzmechem Lefonai. You always hold yourself low. V'sati Gedula L'Avram. I gave Avram, and Mefarshim, before we go further, say, what's Pshat? So I saw a number of beautiful pshat. One pshat is that even when Klal Yisrael have things going in their favor, a Yid says that whatever happens to me is not in my own schus, it's schus ofis. You realize that it's not in your own schusim, it's your schus ofis. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. Beautiful pshat. Generally, when you have a person who learned a lot in any subject, so he considers himself an expert in that subject. You know what is the exception to that rule? The exception to that rule is Klal Yisrael, Talmid HaChachamim. Because the more somebody learns Torah, those are specifically the people who are the Talmid HaChachamim, are the ones that know that they know so very little of Torah. The more Klal Yisrael learns Torah, the more they understand that everything, that they have much more they have to learn. Dimrei Emes says that's why Jews are called Yehudim. What does the word Yehudim mean? It comes from the word Maida, to admit. We are the people who are Maida. We are the people who admit that everything we have comes from Hashem. And the Gemara says, Nesati Gdula Avram, I gave greatness to Avram, Amar Lefanai V'Noichi Ofer V'Efer. I'm nothing. L'Moshe V'Aaron, I gave greatness to Moshe V'Aaron, Amar V'Nachnu Ma, who are we? L'David, David says, Anoichi Salas V'Loi Hashem, like a worm. Avav T'Kachavim, Ein Akein. The Avav T'Kachavim, not like that. Nesati Gdula L'Nimroid, I gave Nimroid greatness, Amar Havim L'Nu Nir. He wanted to build the Migdal Bavel. L'Parah Amar Mi Hashem, Parah says, who's God? Secher V'Amar Mi B'Chol Eirotas, which God is greater than I? L'Vichnetz Amar Ela Abomsi Av, I'll go up to the sky and hold battle with God. L'Chir Melech Tzor Amar Moshev Elikim, Moshev Elikim Yashafti B'Lev Yamin. They only use it to become more arrogant. Gemara explains that Chiram built this huge contraption in the ocean, one layer on top of another layer on top of another layer, as if he ran the world until Nebuchadnezzar ultimately captured him and killed him with a very gruesome death. I saw a very beautiful pshat from the Bava Rebbe. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Kel Nekamais Hashem, Kel Nekamais Hafiyah. It's a very difficult pasuk to understand, he says. He says in the name of the Baal Shem. Why? The word Kael, the name Kael, represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a strong God. Hashem, we know, is Midas HaRachamim. So how is it Kael Nekamais Hashem? The pasuk is self-contradictory. So the Baal Shem answered with a mashal. He says there was once a king traveling through a city. And of course everybody came out to greet the king with the greatest respect. There was one individual who did not do so, treated the king disrespectfully. And the king's entourage wanted to punish this person for acting this way towards the king. The king said, I have a better way of dealing with it. And he brought this person into his palace. And he showed him the glory of the palace. And he showered him with gifts. And the more the person was in the palace, the person realized more and more that how great this king is and what a terrible sin he did by acting disrespectfully to the king. Kael Nekamais, how did the king have the biggest Nekama? Hashem, with the Midas HaRachmim. By showing him and by being nice to him and the person realizing, look what God did for me, look what the Melech does for me, how could I not but show respect to the king? That's what it says, those that say Zmiris. In the Zmiris we say, Mishoich chazdecha loyoidecha, keil kana v'noikim. Very difficult statement. Mishoich chazdecha, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for chesed, and what do we call Hashem when we ask Him for the chesed? Keil kana v'noikim, a powerful God. Yes, that is the power. When is God's power really shown to us? When Midas HaRachmim, when we are the best beneficiaries of his Shefa. B'shah, says the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'shah Shana Mishpich Alam Gedula, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all of this wonderful, everything that we have, is Mashpia us, everything that we need, that's the time we realize how much we owe God. Another pshat that I saw from Rabbi Yonasan Apshitz, very powerful message. He says there was once somebody who was davening in shul on Yom Ha'aron, and his tefillahs were so heartfelt and was so serious, and everybody watching him was just amazed what a serious person this was. So I said, this person must be the most distinguished member of this congregation. So when it came to Aliyahs, they decided to give him an Aliyah. They gave him an Aliyah. He said, this is the Aliyah that I gave me, you're giving me? So they said, you just said, Adam, you saw the life of a sifal off of that. They were all nothing. So he said, yeah, that's to God I'm nothing, but not to other people. So that says Rav Yonis and Abshitz, that's not what the Gemara says. When a person has to realize, not only is he nothing vis-a-vis God, he's nothing atamimatimatzchem, he has to be humble with everybody. That's the way a Jew is supposed to behave. Amar Rav Vitem Rav Yochanan. Gol Hashnem and Moshe v'Aaron. Greater is it what it says about the humility of Moshe v'Aaron. Yosef Mashenem b'Avram. More than it says regarding Avram Avinu. Dila b'Avram k'siv. Avram says about himself, as we learned yesterday, V'noichi offer v'efer. Offer v'efer is really very little, but it's something. V'ilu b'Moshe v'Aaron k'siv v'nachnu ma. We're completely nothing. Now, Farshim all try to understand what is pshat, that indeed the humility of Moshe and Aaron is greater than the humility of Avram Avinu. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, a person who was raised in poverty, in difficult situations, that he should be a modest person is not as much as a showing something as somebody who raised in luxury. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was raised in the home of Paroi. Avraham Avinu was raised in terrible times. The whole world was against the Avos. So that's what the Gemara says. Moshe Rabbeinu's modesty, after everything that he had, and he's still modest, is greater. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that Avraham Avinu, when he spoke about his humility, was speaking to Hashem. So for a person to be modest when he's speaking to Hashem, that's not a big deal. Of course, who are we vis-a-vis Hashem? Who did Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron say v'nachnu ma? They were saying it to other people. To say it to other people, and as the Mefarshim say, not only people, but people who were challenging their leadership, and they still have the ability to say v'nachnu ma, that shows real greatness. Another pshat that I saw from the Satmar Rebbe, nice pshat, he says that everybody has to act according to what's necessary in his situation. Avraham Avinu lived in a time when the whole world were Avdei Avodah Zarah. And Avraham Avinu stood up against the whole world. It's very hard to be able to stand up against everybody. You have to have some sort of a self-pride. So Avraham Avinu, even though he was extremely modest, had to show something, that he was somebody. Otherwise, he would fall to the rest of the world who were Avdei Avodah Zarah. Moshe and Aaron, however, lived in a world of Klal Yisrael. They all believed in Hashem. So for them it was a lot easier to be modest. Another pshat that I saw from Rami Shapiro, he says that what was the greatness of the modesty of Moshe and Aaron? The pasuk says, v'nachnu. What does v'nachnu mean? Everybody. Their modesty was such a great modesty that it was contagious. It was contagious that everybody learned the midah of humility and modesty when they observed Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. And one more pshat that I saw the Mefarshim ask, indeed, how were Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron so modest? Did Moshe Rabbeinu really believe that he's less than anybody else in Klal Yisrael? The Mefarshim say a beautiful pshat. They say Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron lived a life totally connected to Hashem. So they realized that everything they had is from Hashem. So yes, maybe they were in a higher madrega, but it's not because of themselves, it's only because of their connection to Hashem. And we need to realize that everything we have is only because of our connection to Hashem. Continues the Gemara, V'amar Rav V'item Rav Yochanan, Ein Olam Miskayim El B'Shel Moshe V'Aaron. The world exists because of such behavior. K'sev Hacha V'nachnu Ma, K'sev Hasam Toila Oretz Ablima. The world is Ablima. Amar Abilah. Ein Olam Miskayim, El Misha Bailam Atzman B'Shas Mariva. Somebody who knows how to be quiet when he's challenged. Shenema Tayla Eretz Abiyah. Somebody who considers himself as if he's nothing. Shnema metachas zroyas oilam, as if he's at the bottom of the world. Arav it's a mighty siv. Ha'omnam ilam tzedek to the bayrim meishar and tishbetu b'nei adam. This pasuk was said by David. We remember when David was being chased by Shaul, and Shaul was in a cave, and David HaMelech entered the cave and snipped off from his clothing and took a stick, and he was showing to Avner, look, I could have done whatever I wanted and I didn't. It shows that I have no evil intention. Amar of Zeir Vitamer, remember by Yirmiyah. Ma'am Nasa Shal Adam Ba'alam Hazeh, what should a person's profession be in this world? Yasim Etzmai Ke'ilam. A person should make himself like he's quiet. He should learn not to answer back. So it's a very powerful word from the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says that when it comes to a person having a profession, how do you excel in a profession? How do you excel in anything? The way you excel is that you have to work on it. You have to study, and you have to practice, and you have to have experience. So he says, the Gemara is saying here, Yasim Atzma Ke'ilam, a person should know how to be quiet. The Gemara says it's a umnus, it's a profession. It doesn't come easy. It's like a profession. Just like for a profession, you have to work on something to achieve it. To work, you have to work on learning how to not answer back and how to behave properly. And then you will be successful. Continues the Gemara. Yochel afla divrei Torah. So a person would think that so too should be his attitude to Torah. He shouldn't answer back. Tamaloyma tzedek tedaberin. When it comes to Torah, you should speak. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that we know that when it comes to profession, when it comes to gashmias, a Jew is supposed to live with bitachin. He's supposed to do his shtadlus. He's supposed to do what he's supposed to do. But he has to realize that everything comes from Hashem. So maybe a person will think the same as Torah. I don't have to work on Torah. I'll learn a couple of minutes a day, and whatever Torah I'm supposed to know will come into my head. Says the Gemara, Torah is not like anything else. Everything else, you shouldn't overdo. Go to your job, but don't let it consume you. The very Torah is supposed to consume us. Another pshat that I saw, the V'chaim says this pshat, is that we know, the Medrash says, that every person in this world is given a certain amount of words to speak. And when he finishes his allotment, he no longer is in this world. So a person would think, I should speak the very Torah also sparingly. I don't want to use up my allotment. Says the Gemara, when it comes to the Devar Torah, you shouldn't be quiet. Another pshat that I saw is that a person would think, the Panovich Rav says this pshat, a person would think when it comes to learning, he shouldn't challenge his Rebbe. He shouldn't challenge anything. He should accept whatever he hears. Just like the Gemara is saying, when it comes to other things, we should be non-challenging. Says the Gemara, by Devar Torah, it's not like that. Devar Torah, a person is supposed to challenge, because that's the only way I really come to understand the Torah. Yochel yagis datoy. So a person would think, I'm learning, I deserve a lot of credit. Tamaloyma mesharim tishbetu b'nei adam. A person should remain humble. Back to Kisui Adam. Amar b'zeir v'teim rabbi bar yimiyah. Mechasin be'ofer ir anedachis. Remember we learned the Masechet of Sanhedrin, the sugi of ir anedachis, for the entire city, Rechmon Tzlon, worship the Avodah Zarah. The halach is that the entire city should be destroyed. Says our Gemara, we could use the sand of that city for Kisui Hadam. Ask the Gemara, but why is that? Isur Hanahu. We're not allowed to have any Hanah from anything from the Ir HaNidachas. So how can we use their offer? Answers the Gemara, Amazibi, Lenitzchel Afa Afra. It's referring to the hard earth, because, explains the Gemara, the Pasuk says the Ksiv regarding the Ir HaNidachas, Vesklol Shalola Tikbites, El Toich Ruchav V'Serafta. What must be destroyed from the Ir HaNidachas? Misha and Mechus El Kvitza V'Sreifa. That could just be picked up and brought to the middle of the city. Hard earth. You can't just transport it. You have to dig it up. Yotze Zesh Mechusha Tlitza Kvitza V'Sreifa. There is no din of burning. There is no din that has to be burnt, and therefore it can be used for Kisui Hadam. Rava gives a different explanation why we could use the earth of the Ir HaNidachas for mitzvahs Kisui Hadam. Because he quotes the famous rule, mitzvahs lav lahanis netno. Mitzvahs weren't given for Hanah. So I'm using something that I'm not allowed to have anor from, but I'm using it for tzarech mitzvah. And since I'm using it for tzarech mitzvah, that's not called that I'm having anor. Interesting machlokes rishonim. Here we're learning that if you do something, even though it gives you anor, mitzvah lav lahenis mitzvah. So the question that the rishonim already debate is what happens if somebody does a mitzvah and he has a personal anor from that mitzvah. The example they give is a great example. Let's say it's a very hot day and somebody goes to the mikveh. He's going to the mikveh because he has to toivel himself. But while he's going to the mikveh, he also cools off. Is that in the category mitzvah lav lahenis mitnu? Machlokes rishonim. Furthermore, the poskim say that even though we're saying mitzvah lav lahenis mitnu, lechatchila, a person should be concerned about having anor from dvar mitzvah. What's the example they give? The example they give is regarding shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Let's say I made a neder that I'm not allowed to have anor from you. And you have a shofar. Am I allowed to blow in your shofar? So the halacha is that l'chatchila I shouldn't. Maybe I have anor from blowing the shofar. So l'chatchila somebody else should blow and I could hear from that shofar. But then I saw that the Egli Tal, Rav Nezer, in his Hagdoma to his Sefer of Egli Tal, asks a strong question. If we're learning now that the halacha is the mitzvah lav lahenis netnu, so we know that the halacha is, Rechman Otzlan, if somebody's sitting Shiva, or in Tisha B'Av, we're not supposed to learn only certain subjects. And the question is why? Mitzvah lav lahenis netnu. So you're learning Torah, you're doing a mitzvah. So there's no hanah. Why may you not learn during those times? So he says a very strong answer. He says that although indeed there's a rule, mitzvah lav lahenis netnu, there's an exception to that rule, Torah. He says, besides that, of course, we have a mitzvah to learn, he says enjoying what we learn, having a geshmak in what we learn, is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore, even though normally, as the Gemara just taught us, there's a rule, mitzvah is lav lahenis netnu, that isn't by Talmud Torah. And he says a very strong raya. We all know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, lo'olam yasek odoim, b'tayru mitzvah shaloi lishma, shmetayach shaloi lishma, ba lishma. He says, when you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes that Mishnah, he doesn't say Torah mitzvahs, he only says Torah. Why? So he says Pshat in the Rambam is like this. What is the Mishnah saying? A person should learn Torah or do mitzvah shaloi lishma. Because if you practice doing shaloi lishma, you'll come ultimately to do it lishma. So the Rambam omits mitzvahs. Because the Rambam isn't sure. There are enough people that could do mitzvahs their entire life, shaloi lishma, and never get to lishma. But by Torah, as we're learning now, the shaloi lishma, the enjoyment of the Torah, is a chelik of the mitzvah. That's why Torah should be learned shaloi lishma. You know what shaloi lishma means? Learning Torah, because you have a geshmak, and you enjoy learning Torah, is a part of the mitzvah of Torah, not like by any other mitzvah. It says the Gemara, Yosef Ravina v'kam lo ha-shmatza. Ravina was saying over this halacha. It says the Gemara, Esve, River Chumel Ravina, they asked him, the Brisa says, Shofar shel avodah zarah, Shofar that belongs to avodah zarah, lo yitkabal, you should not use for tekiyah shofar, my lav. What does that Brisa not mean? I'm talking lo yotza. But why? You're not allowed to have anor from avodah zarah, but we just said, mitzvah lav lahenis nitnu. And says the Gemara, indeed, the way to understand the Brisa is you shouldn't, lechatchila, but I'm talking, you a yotza. Continues the Gemara. The Brisa says, lulav shel avodah kochavim lo yitkabal. You shouldn't use a lulav that belongs to Avodah Zarah because you're not allowed to have hanor from Avodah Zarah. And again, says the Gemara, my lav, doesn't the Brisa mean to say, im notl, if you did take such a lulav, lo yotza. So the Gemara, loy, it means to say, im notl yotza. Ask the Gemara, because mitzvah lav lahenis nitnu. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that's pshat in the Brises? For Tanya, the Brisa says explicitly, toka, if you use the shayf Avodah Zarah, lo yotza. Notol, if you use the lulav of Avodah Zarah, lo yotza. But why? Mitzvah lav lahenis netnu. Answers the Gemara. Amar Avashi, hachi hashtam. You can't compare the situations. Hasam, shiur binim. There's a certain size the shofar has to have. It has to be so large that it sticks out of the fist of your hand. Luluv has a minimal size, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah. Vavod kachavim, when we speak of Avod Zara, ketutzei mechtishuri, it's considered as if it's completely burnt. Like the Mefarshim say, we had a klal in this Masechta. Kala oimid lisrif kasaftam, it's already not there. So you don't have the proper shear. Komad mechtis. But hach, when we speak about kisei adam, it doesn't have to have a shear. We want to completely use it into dust to cover the dam. And therefore, there's no problem with ketutzei mechtishuri. Komad mechtis mali. It's actually preferable, and therefore it can be used for kisui adam, even though it can't be used for shayfer and lulav. Hanulah kisui adam, hanulah kisui adam, hanulah kisui adam. We begin the next parak, the parak of Gidon Asher. We all remember that the Torah teaches us, and we'll discuss it extensively in this parak of Mitzvah, the episode between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach dislocated Yaakov Avinu's Gira Nosha, the sciatic nerve. And from there, Klal Yisrael, as the Torah says, Alkein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es Gir HaNosha. Says the Mishnah, Gira Nosha noy b'chutz l'aretz b'aretz b'chutz l'aretz. This is obvious thing, as the Rishonim say, just to be consistent with all the Mishnahis. B'fnei b'ayis, shlev b'fnei b'ayis, makes no difference to the base of Mikdash is standing. B'chulam m'gdoshim. This is the Chiddush, as we'll see in the Gemara. V'noy b'behema b'chaya, makes no difference b'behema b'chaya, not like Kisi Adam. B'yerach she'imina b'yerach small, both on the right side and on the left side. Ve'ena noig ba'oif, nesha en le'kaf. It doesn't apply by the bird, because the bird, the sciatic nerve, doesn't have a place that looks like a spoon-shaped thigh. I saw that the Rajba says that, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that it doesn't apply by a bird? It doesn't have, a bird doesn't have a giranosha, because if it doesn't have a kaf, it doesn't have a giranosha, so it's obvious. So the Rajba says a very bechiddush that the gira nosha of a person, not that we're allowed to eat human flesh, but if there were a situation that somebody ate human flesh or was cooked together with other materials, to teach us that since by a person there is a kaf, so the gira nosha, the sciatic nerve of a person, looks indeed like a gira nosha of a behema, the gira nosha of an adam is also. V'noi b'shlil, it applies even by a fetus, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. Yudaima en enoig b'shlil. The chelba mutter, the chelev of a fetus is mutter. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, b'ena tabach in the manam of the granasha. A butcher is not trusted that he removed the granasha. We'll discuss this as well in the Gemara, because we're concerned, since it's difficult to remove it, we have to be concerned that he didn't really get it out. Divra meya. Chama imrim, the chama disagree. The manam olav al-chela, we can't trust them. Very famous Crazy Plessy that caused a real stir in the world. Crazy Plessy says that there was an expert menaker that came and said that the gira nasha is only by male animals and not by female animals, which caused a very famous tumult. How can you differentiate between male animals and female animals? There's a halachic nafkamina between what he says. Because certainly, as I said, and we'll learn this more in the parak, the gira nosha, which is a sciatic nerve, certainly the gira nosha applies to. The question is, if the male animal has another nerve, then maybe the gira nosha, the halacha should be that we should remove both the sciatic nerve and that other nerve that's by males and not females. But as became accepted, the gira nosha, the same gira nosha by male and female animals, and it's what we know we shouldn't have. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah said that the gira nosha applies by the mukdashim. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Shum, the agdashay, because I made the animal hegdash, pakle issa gidmine, so the issa gid should fall away. Why would I think so? V'chitema, if you'll say, perhaps, what the Mishnah means. As we'll see later in our parak, there's a very serious discussion if the Gid Hanosha imparts taste. V'chitem, and we'll say what our Mishnah is teaching us, is Yesh B'Gidim Noisun Tam, and therefore the Osse Issa Mekdoshim, there's a concept of Ein Issa Chalal Issa. And maybe what our Mishnah is saying that if somebody eats the Gid HaNosh of Hegdish, he should get two Malkus. One is Alts Gid, and one is Alts Hegdish, if we'll say that it has Tam. V'asi Ismik Doshim V'chayel Isagid, that if somebody would eat that Gid HaNosh, he would get a double Isser. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Mishnah meant to say, so the Mishnah's wording should be that you have the Gid, and then after you make the Gid Hegdish, it is also has this a Hegdish. But our Mishnah doesn't say that wording. Our Mishnah says, Uba Mekdoshim. Ela, Kesavar, says the Gemara, Pshat in the Mishnah is Ein Begidin Tam. The Gid itself doesn't have Tam, and therefore somebody ate the Gid HaNosh of Hegdish, Uba Mekdoshim Isagid Ika. He would be over the Isagid, because by the Gid, it makes no difference if it has Tam or it doesn't have Tam. It's Osir. The Torah says it's Osir. But with Mekdoshim, Hegdish, you're only over if you eat something that has Tam. Mekdosh, is Mekdoshim, Leka. Ask the Gemara, can that be Pshat in our Mishnah? That Sobatan Adidan, that ain't Begidim nois Tam, that Gidim don't have Tam? For Tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah later in our Perek. If somebody has an entire thigh and he did not remove the Gid HaNosha, if there's so much Gid HaNosha left in the thigh, less than a 60-to-1 ratio, so we clearly see that the Tana holds the Yesh Begidim Noisim Tam. Ella says the Gemara, so we're back to where we started. What is the Mishnah's Pshat? We're talking about an animal that's Hegdish, that became pregnant, and the fetus inside is Hegdish as well. The Ksavar, Noig B'Shlil, the Tan of our Mishnah holds that the Issagid applies to the fetus as well. The Ksavar, Vladis Kachmim Mei Iman Heim Kedoshim, which means as follows. If we're going to say that the animal is Hegdish, so now we have a problem. We have the Issagid on an animal. Let's take a regular animal. We have the Issagid. Every animal starts born with Issagid HaNosha. If we make the animal Hegdish, the Hegdish should not apply to the Gid HaNosha. Because we have a rule throughout Shas, Ein Issachal Al Issa. Says our Mishnah, here we're referring that the animal, the fetus, from when it's in its mother's womb was Hegdish. So from its very conception, the Issagid and the Hesed Hegdish came together. So even though there's a rule that ain't Issachal al Isser, when the two Isurim come together, then they do. And this animal, this baby in the mother's womb, the Issagid and the Issa Hegdish came simultaneously. The Issagid v'Issam Hegdash v'Hadei Adadi Kasi. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what the beginning of the Mishnah is referring to? The fetus in its mother's stomach. But Midik Tani Sefer, we learn at the end of the Mishnah, Noi Bishlo, the Machloikis of Ramei and the Chachamim, the Machloikis of Yehuda and the Chachamim, if there's Gid HaNosha by a fetus. Machlal, isn't that an indication? The Reisha Labashlo Skinen. So how can we say that that's what the Reisha means? Answers the Gemara, Hachikam, Adavazem, Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. The Mishnah says, at the beginning, the Noi B'Mukdoshim, that a Gid HaNosha applies by Hegdish. And we explained what does it mean when it says it applies by Hegdish. It means the Hegdish, the fetus in the mother's womb, that the Issa Gid and the Issa Hegdish come together. That's where you can have both these surim. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, but this entire subject, if there is indeed an Issa Gid by a fetus, is actually the subject of Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. That's how the Gemara at this point is explaining the Mishnah when it says, V'noi b'mukdashim.